Let's pray together. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These are the words Jesus attributed to himself as he stood one Sabbath in his local synagogue, reading the words of the prophet Isaiah. And over in Luke's gospel, we see him enacting this core message of good news as he cleanses a leper, interacting with him and stretching out his hand towards him, touching him. Actions so extraordinary for the time and context. As he calls Levi, the tax collector, and sits mixing with a crowd of tax collectors at a banquet in his honor, arousing the wrath of the scribes and Pharisees so profoundly that they complain, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" As he encounters the temple leaders and asks them to consider the merit of their arguments against healing a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, "I ask you," he says, "is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, to save life or destroy it?" And all through the Gospels, but especially in Luke, we are witnesses to Jesus' daily involvement with the poor and rejected, with the marginalized and the dispossessed. "Blessed are the poor," he says, "because theirs is the kingdom of God." His gospel is for everyone, for all, regardless of status or race or religion or gender, for we are all poor in spirit. These incidents from the life of Jesus might be said to represent the social justice stream that runs through Christian history and tradition. At certain times and places, there's been more or less emphasis on social justice, a stream that has developed out of relationship with God through Jesus and in response to injustice. For example, in the light of persuasive evidence, 19th century evangelicals began to understand slavery in a new and different way and lobbied to eradicate it. In the 60s, Martin Luther King and the Southern churches led a groundswell movement to remove laws passed to limit the freedoms of American black people and to diminish them as those rightly made in the image of God. In the UK, in the late 19th century, the Salvation Army was founded to address the needs of inner city dwellers and the homeless. And in the same way, many today are activated to fight against human trafficking and against all sorts of violent crime, particularly that perpetrated against women around the world. The source of compassion and political action, whether today or 200 years ago, is often the same God who pleads for the poor and the widowed and the orphaned. There's a strong argument that to be truly balanced as a Christian, we need to be aware of and actively working within all the Christian traditions, and that includes working for equity in all human relations and social structures. Well, in the Fruitfulness on the Frontline series of studies, so far we've been asked to think about how character is formed and how it's developed over time and demonstrated amongst friends and family. We've thought about how we might see work as God's gift to us and the very place where God's good work is done, the ordinary dailiness and messiness of it being a challenge where colleagues are our witnesses. We've been encouraged to cultivate grace and love in our interactions with others, to develop authentic signs of Christian character. We've considered how we might mould the culture on our front lines so that they can become places where all people can flourish. And so to this penultimate session, which focuses on becoming a mouthpiece for truth and for justice. To be ambassadors, to speak and to act as Jesus did for those who can't speak for themselves. The story employed here to illustrate God's inherent sense of justice and truth is found in the book of Samuel. It's one of those narratives where, in a sense, the Bible shoots itself in the foot because it surprises and utterly stuns us. King David, chosen by God to be the first king of Israel, commits adultery with the beautiful Bathsheba, who is married to Uriah. When David finds out that she is pregnant, he attempts to cover up his sin, and murders her husband by placing him in the front line of the battle, where he was bound to be killed. The king of Israel, you see, was just like us, one who failed God again and again. Today's focus, however, is on Nathan the prophet, whom God sent to David. Nathan becomes God's spokesman or mouthpiece because what David has done displeased God, and Uriah is no longer able to speak for himself. To make his point, Nathan's technique is to tell a story. He doesn't berate the king, rather he relates a tale of a poor man whose awful poverty is amplified further by his neighbor through the theft of his one and only beloved lamb. His neighbor could well have afforded to kill one of his own lambs for an unexpected guest, but he prefers to steal instead. As Nathan heaps on the hyperbole, David's anger is kindled, and he reacts in just the way Nathan predicted. David was that rich man, taking from another what was not his to take. Psalm 51 reflects David's prayer for cleansing and pardon and shows us clearly how very keenly he felt his guilt. Have mercy on me, O God, he prayed, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. But our attention today is primarily on Nathan and the importance of truth and social justice. I wonder how it would have felt to be Nathan, primed with this close and secret knowledge of King David. He must still have felt somewhat fearful as he approached the king with his story. Nevertheless, he obeyed the prompt from God. The job of one working for truth and social justice requires courage and wisdom. Well, perhaps you're wondering how this relates to us here this morning. Alas, there is no shortage of injustice to be exposed, at home or far away. No end of voices struggling to be heard and responded to. Take a close and prayerful listen to the news, any time of day or night, or read the headlines, or pay attention to what's going on in our locality. Being a mouthpiece for justice is a matter of finding what God would have each of us to do and learning how best to do it. While it's good and probably easier to get involved with an organisation of people working together for a cause, say Amnesty International or Christian Solidarity Worldwide, it's useful also to notice just what's going on around you. There may be small but significant things to do around here. When you're visiting a home or a hospital, you might notice a patient being neglected. Very sad, but quite possible, as we know. You may hear a child being bullied in the streets by older children or by his peers. Someone may share an event, something that you know needs reporting, and they may need you to stand with them. All these are examples of being a mouthpiece for truth and for justice. A friend of mine managed a very large department store in Glasgow, and he noticed that some dodgy financial transactions were going on above his head, and he spoke up to put a stop to it, but ended up himself losing his job. Working for justice can be costly, and it's only very recently that whistleblowers have had the protection of the law. Perhaps we lack confidence. Are we like Moses, with no words? Well, God promised to be with him. Or do we feel ashamed or embarrassed, like Peter, after he denied Christ? We've all let Jesus down, but look who Peter became subsequently. Or maybe we feel unworthy, like Isaiah the prophet, when he encounters the vision of God in the temple and responds, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips." God cleansed him and equipped him. Or sometimes we may feel frustrated, like Paul, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." None of us is perfect, and God doesn't call for us to be perfect before he can work through us. How then might we be mouthpieces for truth and for justice? Well, let's look and see where justice and truth are not being upheld on our front lines, and ask God to help us grow in wisdom and courage to speak up where necessary. In this way, we will play our part in building the kingdom of Christ. Amen.